Hello, welcome to It's All Cobblers to Me, coming live, kind of, recorded this week at Harpole Playing Fields, where the NTFC women's team are about to kick off against Notts County. It's a bit foggy, it's a bit misty, and we weren't sure if Notts County were even here, but they are, and it's going to be a thoroughly good game, so stay tuned for updates. Throughout the game, we'll be talking to some of our fan club members as well, who have made the trip over to Harpole, and the game is about to kick off. Looking forward to this one incredibly.
Rain again, and he's got it!
Gavin was closing in. Oh, Gavin has scored!
Abdul Osman against Brad Jones to put Liverpool out of the cup and Northampton 3!
Yeah! Get it!
Hello and welcome to It's All Cobblers to Me. I'm Charles and I'm at Harpole FC, Harpole Playing Fields. I'm here watching NTFC women currently batter Notts County ladies, I think they are. 3-0, it's half time at the moment. It's a really good game. I mean, this is the first time that I've been to see NTFC women play. And, I mean, I know I'm always supporting them and very proud to obviously sponsor Abbey Brewing, of course. But it's not until you actually see them play how you realise how good they actually are and how good the setup is. I mean, okay, Harpole Playing Fields isn't exactly Wembley. But and the pitch could be better, but the setup in itself is actually really good, and you do look at it and go, the way that they're playing, they could definitely play at a higher level. It's really good to see, and good to see how professional the team is as well. So we're looking forward to the rest of this half. And actually, as I speak right now, I'm not sure exactly what this week's podcast is going to be like. So obviously no first team game. The Cobblers are second in the table. A bit later on, Neil and I will be in the pub. I think we're going to do some postbag messages, go through the postbag and see what people have been sending us in. I know that there's been a couple of questions being asked about Christmas period and things like that, but we are second in the league, so happy days on that. But for now, I'm going to go back to watching the second half of Northampton Town Women against Notts County Ladies, so it should be a really good afternoon, albeit my hand is freezing as I'm holding my microphone to do this. So, yes, brilliant. Thanks for listening. See you in a bit. Full time in 3-0. There we go. I'm with. Look who I'm with. Well, you can't because it's a podcast, obviously, and it's audio. No one can see you. It's Gareth and Valerie.
Hello.
Look at that. Amazing. Gareth is going to do a live rendition of his jingle. I'll count you in, Gareth. Are you ready? 3, 2. Well, you don't have to, really.
Neil's postbag. Neil's postbag.
Amazing. Brilliant. Did you enjoy that, guys? 3-0
win? Fabulous. Fabulous. Bit cold, but fabulous play.
Was it more fun than watching the men's team?
It was a different kind of fun.
Yeah.
I think it's a different type of football, a different atmosphere, a different ethos, but very enjoyable.
Mm. It was. It was a good game. I thought the Cobblers controlled it very well.
Yeah, some fabulous bits of skill on display today.
Yeah, it was really enjoyable to watch, which was all good and fun. So yeah, thank you very much for coming. It's been a pleasure having you here.
Been a delight.
As if I invited you and it was my decision, I'll say that now. But yeah, well done. Thank you. And here's the match report on the game from James Wiles.
Northampton Town returned to East Midlands Women's Regional Football League Premier Division action with a 3-0 win at home to Notts County on Sunday. Gracie Williams, Leah Cadone and Rachel Mumford scored the Cobblers' goals as they played their first league game in over 2 months. The Cobblers were quick off the mark and took an early lead when Notts County failed to clear a corner and Williams found the back of the net from the edge of the area. Cadone doubled the advantage after a quarter of an hour, finishing into the top corner from Alex Dix through ball. And it was 3 midway through the half when Mumford nodded home Faye Noble's wide free kick. The game became more even, but the visitors were unable to trouble Joe Daniel in the Cobblers' goal before the break. Their best chance of the match came on the hour mark when a shot flew across the face of goal. But the damage had been done in the first half for Notts County as the Cobblers saw out a comfortable win. Lou Barry and Josh Oldfield's side travelled to Outerbridge War Memorial in the new year. I spoke to the joint managers after the game. So Josh, a 3-0 win today against Notts County. What are your thoughts on the game?
Happy to get back to Harpole, happy to get back in league action, and happy generally for the 3 points. It was a big game, given the amount of cup games that we've played in a row, given the break that we had from the league, and we really felt that we wanted to come back in and build that momentum back in that we perhaps lost with the result last week. But I think we did that. I think we blew them away in that first period of the game, and then cruised for the rest. But yeah, no, happy to get 3 points, happy to be back at Harpole and playing in the league, yeah.
And Lou, it was a relatively comfortable game. Would you have liked to seen more goals from the team?
Yeah, oh, I think we would. It was comfortable. It was a bit too routine at times, to be honest with you, in terms of we didn't get much threat from the other team. So, yeah, look, we've been in this position before at half-time when we always challenge ourselves. And we would like to ideally be a little bit more ruthless in those times. But I think we mentioned to the girls, we've started to leak the goal here and there recently. So to get a clean sheet and get through the rest of that game to clean sheet was the biggest challenge, I would say.
And Josh, first league game in about 2 months. Happy to be trying to get back on top spot?
Yeah. We don't know the other results yet. We know a couple of the results around us, but there's one we're waiting on. It'd be nice to finish on top spot, but we'll see how the other ones go. But generally, we've done everything we can. We've won the games that we've been given. We can't do anything about the fact we've only played 5 league games. That's how it is. That's how it falls. But we've won the games that we've played. And we'll continue to try and push and do that and continue that momentum going into the new year.
And Lou, it's Christmas break coming up, but you're happy with where the team are at this halfway stage?
Yeah, we could have done more. We're still in, you know, the three main cup competitions as such, 5 out of 5 in the league, but as far as we could in the FA Cup. So I think, yeah, everything so far has been success. We've got through a really busy period, pretty unscathed in terms of injuries. So again, that's really good. We know it's going to get a lot harder and a lot more, I guess, busier after the break. So we're going to recharge our batteries for a week and come back ready to go.
Well, there we go. Game over. Really good to finally actually get to watch the girls. And Amelia enjoyed it, didn't you?
Yeah.
She got to meet her favourite player. Who's your favourite player?
Abby Bruin.
Yeah, there you go. So Amelia got to meet her favourite player and really, really enjoyed watching the game. And to be honest with you, you don't realise just how good they actually are. But they are, and they're very well deserving of their top of the league status at Christmas, which is really good. So now it's home time. I'm going to get in the car and drive home. And then the next time you'll hear from me, I'll be in the pub with Neil, hopefully. And here we are in the pub. Neil's here. Hi, Neil.
Hi. Hello.
And we're also here.
We are in the pub, look.
There you go.
There's quite a lot of glasses on this table.
There is, to be fair.
Oh, no, she's coming.
Oh.
Hello, yeah.
Sorry, we won't
click
you to get your attention.
No,
sorry.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. You're
going to
be live on a podcast. We're recording one right now, so...
No,
that's good. Don't worry.
Prune's actually in the pub.
Yeah.
Thank you. As well as one of the lovely the barmaids, we've been joined by the even lovelier Leeds United fan Mike Fuller.
Hello, good evening.
Hello, mate. You all right?
Yeah, good.
Good. This is technically our Christmas party, boys.
What a wild one.
Yeah. Absolutely hilarious.
Two of us are driving.
That's not me.
Luckily, my round was a soft drink round. So
yeah, Mike left it until it was that point. Ridiculous. let's just go straight into it, because it's not going to be as long as normal, I don't think.
Postponed, job done. Yeah.
Have you got COVID?
No, I haven't. No, I don't think good. So. Touch wood.
Good.
We told you we shouldn't have stopped.
Speaking of COVID, though, yes. Cobblers postponed. Bit upset.
Two games in a row now.
Yeah. Boxing Day postponed as well as Saturday just gone against Barrow, was it meant to be? Barrow,
which was it? Clown travelled all the way down for a postponed game?
I don't know. Don't know, Neil. Which clown did? Me, yes, I know.
I'm still here. I stayed because you invited me to the pub.
Yeah.
That was it. You invited me to the pub. Obviously today we're recording on Monday night, and both the Premier League and the EFL have had meetings to see whether or not they'd have a circuit breaker for, you know, a couple of weeks or whatever it is. They decided against that. Agree with that or not, Neil? What would you have liked to have seen done?
It's a big question for a Christmas party, Charles.
It is. I'll ask you about the poppers later.
Thank you. The what? The poppers?
The poppers.
Oh, no. No, let's not go there. If it was me, I would have had a two-week break, at least a two-week break, actually, in football and outside of football, actually. I would have probably... not full on lockdown. So if you think back to, I was listening to Five Live earlier.
And, we'll get you.
I've got up since Northampton 96.6.
Today's greatest hits.
Neil would have shown his age there.
Yeah. What is it now? Heart FM, is it?
Oh,
yeah.
No idea.
Heart, yeah, Heart, is it?
Yeah. Jamie Thigston and Amanda Holden.
Is it?
He's in Manchester, yeah.
So on Five Live, they were going through the announcements from Boris when he'd announced lockdowns before.
Right.
And actually really hammered home, like, because you kind of forget a little bit, right? But actually, we couldn't actually leave the house, right? Mm. Unless you were going out for a real reason, such as going to the shop. We were limited, was it to an hour's exercise a day or something ridiculous?
Well, one bit of exercise a day, which they loosely said was about an hour.
Yeah, so I don't think we should go back to those extremes, but I do think there should be an element of... Because at the moment, the government are saying, we advise you not to socialise, but we're not going to stop you.
Cheers, boys.
So cheers, yeah. We're in the pub now, right? So I think football should... have a break, and I think the country should probably have a little bit of a break as well, but I know many, many people will disagree, and that's okay.
I think it's that thing, isn't it? There's the argument of if you say, like, so my way of looking at it would be, if you have a 2 week break in the football, you put this circuit breaker in, then that gives all the clubs time to basically hopefully get through the period, which is at the moment seems to be highly infectious period of time, would you say? Oh, lots of people seem to be getting it.
That's exactly what they say, Charles. Yeah, you explained it really, really well.
Oh, thank you very much. It's unusual for me.
I was being sarcastic. So.
Asshole. get through this period of time, and then hopefully we can get back to sort of, you know, in January, we'll be able to just carry on again.
But the problem is, right, is if you have a 2 week circuit breaker in football, but you don't have a 2 week circuit breaker in real life, shall we say, then it's going to make no difference.
And the player, because the players are just going to...
The players will still socialise over Christmas and all that.
I'm of a different opinion, so...
Go on, Mike.
I've got an opinion,
I'll say it.
Come on, Mike.
So I wouldn't have a 2 week circuit breaker in football. But what I would be doing as somebody that, as a person that would run a professional football club, is be talking to the teams and saying, look, we're in this situation, you know, the virus is out there still, you know, it's infectious, please be careful, you know, go about your normal lives, don't do anything that could compromise your commitment to us, and, you know, we'll be testing, we'd urge you to get vaccinated, but obviously we can't force you to do that yet, that's another topic.
Mm-hmm.
Be careful, and we'll do what other workplaces around the country are doing. You know, my workplace, and I'm sure others, are urging their workers to be careful as well.
Yep.
You know, if people in their family are showing symptoms, they're urging you to test. Some workplaces are instigating testing themselves, and that's why I would do it. And if it means that by following the guidance and by being sensible that cases within a football club are rising, then address it then. It may mean that games are postponed, but, you know, we can catch up with those games. Having a 2 week circuit break in football over a period of four or five games causes a much bigger problem.
Yeah, it's a fair argument.
I tell you what
Can't argue with that.
I can't argue with it.
Mike, you know, second time on the pod and he smashed it.
Just going to give Mike a few minutes just to come up with a three-phrase slogan. You know, like catch it, bin it, kill it, and hands, face, face, space, that. Come up with your own, because that was very political. And while you're coming up with it, Mike...
No pressure, Mike.
No pressure,
I've
Mike.
I've got it.
It better be good. Talking about vaccination, as Mike was, Neil.
He was. He brought it up. Yeah.
Should the players all be being told to get vaccinated?
Can I just loop back to something Mike said?
You can.
And ignore the vaccination question for a moment. So Mike said about testing players, testing what we find. So, you know, I love the NFL. Any chance to bring it up?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
You know, by the way, the Niners are flying. But...
So, but don't they own a stake in Leeds United as well?
Why do you think Mike's here?
Neil's wearing a Niners hat, I think.
It's like
a subliminal message.
Well, the 49ers coach the other day was wearing a Leeds United jacket in his press
really?
Conference.
Really? Okay, yeah, love it, yeah. Good lad.
But the NFL has had massive, massive problems with COVID over the last couple of weeks. So there's usually the way the games work in the NFL, there's a Thursday night game, and then there's a shed load of games Sunday, a late game on Sunday, then a game on the Monday night. So the week just gone. Three of them, I think, have been cancelled because of COVID. But the Cleveland Browns, which is, interestingly, Tom Cliff's team. He loves the Brains, as he calls them.
The Brains. Evening, Tom.
Evening, Tom. They've had major issues.
Or morning, you can be listening to it.
And they're finding hundreds of cases, you know, every week in the NFL. So what they've done is they've literally yesterday changed their legislation and changed their rules and guidance for... They only get tested if they've got symptoms.
Right, okay.
So essentially, hiding. So if we don't know about it, it's okay.
To be fair, I've seen a lot of people on social media saying stop testing and it'll all go away.
But, you know, and do I agree with that? Probably not, because I think it causes more problems in the long run.
Yeah.
But on the face of it, you can see, right, that... If however many percentage of people are asymptomatic, they never know they've even got it and stuff. Why are we worrying about it?
Yeah, it is a good thing. It is a good question.
But America be America, right? So they do what they want.
Well, that's it.
On your vaccination question.
Yeah.
We already spoke about this, didn't we?
We did. And prompted us to press record.
It did. And my opinion is no. You can't force people to be vaccinated. It's a personal choice.
Okay.
And that's the beauty of the free world. Is
because we live in a democracy, everybody.
Yeah, and while I agree the best thing to do, and I'm... It's got really quiet. That's pretty ill.
It's got really quiet.
People are listening to us.
I don't want to actively advertise that I am triple vaccinated, because those lads over there look like they're not.
The Wellingborough Massive.
But
listeners, Neil. You don't know it.
I'm not sure they've ever heard of a podcast, Charles. I think being vaccinated is the right thing to do. I think it's part of our duty to look after each other and look after those close to us and other people. I don't think you can force someone to have it. I don't think it's the right thing to do. I don't think it should be a personal choice.
I come from it from the angle of, obviously, I mean, I know, obviously, your Mrs.
Dave's in the police force.
your Mrs. Dave is in the police force, yeah. Beautifully cut and edited. My Mrs. is a nurse. I come at it from the option of, or from the point of view, really, of being that I think people should be educated well enough to make an informed decision. I see far too many people basically citing things essentially rubbish that isn't true, and they're basing their opinion or their decision on rather ill-informed, you know, messaging and things.
But that's okay, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely fine. I do have an issue with it. I think they should be educated on it. better and they should take a more informed opinion.
In your opinion?
In my opinion, which is then difficult, yeah.
So I agree with you, by the way.
Yes, I'm just saying,
I'm trying to look at it from their point.
Yeah.
The point is the opinion thing, isn't it?
Everybody has an opinion. I mean, look, right, the way that I say it, and, you know, I'm sure there will be people listening right now that disagree with me, and that's absolutely fine.
What?
I've got no... Yeah.
Every week?
Every week. But, you know, my opinion is that if... Especially if you're going to... care about somebody. So I this isn't really football related, obviously, but if you're going to care,
it's just
care
off for the
somebody,
podcast, don't worry, mate.
Yeah. If you're going to care for somebody, so like the way that my missus does it at a hospital, then surely you want to make sure that you're protecting the people that you're looking after as much as you possibly can.
So it's funny you say that, because I told you I listened to Five Live earlier.
Yes, yeah, you do. Yeah.
And I'm a very intelligent guy. But there was a nurse that rang up. It was Naga Munchetti's show. I don't know if you've heard it.
No, yes, yeah.
And this nurse, she was brilliant, to be fair. And the point you just made was her empathy is gone. Because most of the people she's seeing in her hospital are unvaccinated.
Yeah.
And she specifically said about a man that had been in with his pregnant wife, I think recently, and she physically explained to him, asked him to give her a reason why he's not vaccinated. He couldn't really give one, apart from, like you said, some form of Facebook stuff, read some stuff on Facebook about 5G and all this sort of stuff, or whatever it may be.
You think that what make people want it? It's expensive, isn't it?
Yeah, faster internet, right?
Sign me up.
And so she's done,
the iFollow would never buffer.
I've never had a problem with iFollow, have you?
No, it's generally been fine for me.
But then again, I'm vaccinated, so I've got 5G.
But yeah, her point was that she is now finding it really, really difficult to treat these patients. She still does it because it's her job and stuff.
Yeah, of course.
But she physically now gives them... She goes onto Google and she prints off where their nearest vaccination centre is and says, go and get vaccinated. Now, I mean, obviously, they're probably not going to because they've made their mind up and stuff. But it must be so frustrating doing that job, right? It's hard. Yeah.
My thought about the footballers is... So...
Yeah, bring it back, Mike. Well,
yeah,
done,
yeah,
Mike.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Back in the
world. Welcome to the podcast, Mike. This is what we do.
Yeah.
We'll
bring you back in line. Yeah.
Neil tends to make me edit 20 minutes of worth of content out.
So my opinion is... It should be a personal choice, you know. Nobody should be forced to do anything against their will or what they don't want.
Mm.
And everybody should be able to make their own opinion on whether they become vaccinated or not.
I agree.
Now, within the football club, and as someone, you know, if I was somebody that ran a professional team, if your choice to not become vaccinated meant that you either jeopardise your colleagues or put at risk your commitment to your employer, then that's a different conversation. You know, if being unvaccinated means you're missing lots of time at training or coming in to do what is effectively your job, then that becomes a separate conversation. And particularly in the lower leagues where contracts are short, you know, does it become a topic? And that's a sort of employer's way of looking at it.
It's a great point.
On that, because, I mean, obviously, I mean, I was self-employed, so slightly different, but I remember what it was like when I was employed at Spoons. Obviously, the sickness policy, for example. So if you were off...
Wetherspoons?
Yeah, well, surprisingly. and I'm sure you've got it where you work, of you, is that... So let's say I work for you, Neil. If I was off sick, I think four times maybe, something like that, all for the same reason.
In the same year,
12-month then you would then be having some sort of meeting with me.
You'd be coming into my office, sunshine.
Oh. Kind of turned on right now, won't I? But there'd be some sort of policy that you'd be following. And repercussions on it. And what you're basically saying, Mike, is that it shouldn't be any different.
No, agreed. Yeah, yeah. It's still a workplace, you know, be it a professional football club.
So the argument, the argument to that is, and I, one business I know, not my business as it happens, but one business I know, if you have COVID, then it doesn't impact.
Mm-hmm.
And in my view, that's okay because it's a global pandemic. So everyone's probably going to catch COVID. Yeah. So should that impact your sickness record? possibly not. But I guess to your point, Mike, is has that person done everything they can do to protect themselves and those around them? You could argue not.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I mean, most workplaces, and I assume football teams are the same, are pushing advice on how to protect yourself as best you can. That the best way, in I think all of our opinions, is to be vaccinated.
Yeah,
if you choose not to do that, again, it's your choice, but are you going against the advice of your employer? And does that mean there's a conversation? Should it affect your ability to fulfil your commitment to them as your paid, you know, your paying employer?
An interesting thing that I've seen today as we speak, and I mean, you know, look, it was an opinion piece written in a particular newspaper that
What newspaper was it, Charles?
It was the Daily Mail. Unbelievable. I wouldn't normally read.
Just to be clear, Neil and I are sat a little bit away.
Yeah, we're shifting away.
The opinion piece was basically saying, what part of it was saying that, look, the fans have done their bit by getting vaccinated. Football has now been, for the last 8-9 months or whatever it's been, back with crowds. Maybe the players, you know, it should be their, you know, their turn, basically, to repay it.
You can't say that the fans have done their bit, because there's obviously going to be fans that aren't vaccinated.
But to that point, though, fans, in maybe not, you know, in Northampton Town terms, but certainly Premier League fans will be kind of forced to be vaccinated.
You're
going to have to prove that you're vaccinated to go. So
that's fair.
To go to the game, you have to have done that. So,
if anything, again, support a lower league club.
Yeah, exactly. Come on down.
Yeah.
Come to Barrow. Oh, no, you can't unbox it.
The other thing that was mentioned and was said was that you're not seeing any of the high... You're not seeing Harry Kane, England captain, turning around and saying, you should go and get vaccinated. Now, think about... Let's look at the Black Lives Matter thing.
He's pointing.
For a second, I am pointing. Pointing, sorry.
He's not usually face to face, so I don't normally get to do this.
But look at how football in general and the players, especially at the top end of the game, have used their position to put across their feelings and you know, their point in regards to racism, which we all agree here, and I'm sure everybody listening agrees, should, you know, just not be a thing.
Yep, agreed.
But you've not heard any of the... No one's come out player-wise and said anything about, we think you should go and get your vaccine. Whereas you have seen other people... So, like, Alan Shearer has come out and done a video that I think the Premier League released this week, saying, go and get your vaccination, help protect other people, blah, blah, you know, normal sort of stuff. Same thing with a few TV personalities. Football, though, not happened.
Nothing.
And I think the point that was being made in this you know, opinion piece in the Daily Mail was that he didn't ask the question, he stated that the players are scared of the dark areas of social media and the repercussions that they will get from those people who, you know, black and white, there's no grey area kind of thing, will just shout at them.
It's easier than say nothing, right?
Yeah.
It is, isn't it?
What we have seen, this is only in the last couple of days I've noticed it, it may be before, but some managers, I think...
Klopp.
There you go.
Oh, hello.
So I think Jurgen Klopp was one.
Right.
Eddie Howe, I think, was another, saying they may not consider signing unvaccinated players. And that's kind of all I've heard, but that's been very recent.
Hold on. Charles is trying to...
Normal diet coke.
What? It's Pepsi and diet, please.
There you go. Look, live order.
Yeah, there you go.
Live order. It's interesting, isn't it, Mike? Because I'm trying to think. It's much easier for a manager to come out and say something about the vaccine. I'm trying to think, when you're involved in football heavily, right, with the lads that you coach and all that sort of thing and stuff. I'm trying to think, when I played football, albeit at a really low level, it is a different environment, isn't it?
Yep.
And if I'm Harry Kane, as to use Charles' example, or if I'm, I don't know, Ronaldo or whoever it may be, do I want the hassle of all the abuse you're going to get, which you are going to get abuse if you come out and say everyone should be getting vaccinated or everyone should be getting, you're going to get a lot of abuse. Do I want that?
The other problem as well from a player's point of view is it can be a risky thing to say when it's difficult to implement in real life. So if Harry Kane or whoever urges fans to be vaccinated or to socially distance, and then, I mean, you look at the government at the minute, if they're seen to not have done that, then instant headlines. I mean, we used Black Lives Matter as an example a minute ago. I mean, that's probably a much easier thing to support as a footballer, because, you know, one, you know, I know opinions and all that sort of thing, but, you know, it's fairly, you know, cut and dry, isn't it? Being a racist is wrong. And it's unlikely that someone like Harry Kane, having supported Black Lives Matter, will be spotted being racist out in public. You know, it's not going to happen because he's not a racist person.
Yeah.
Whereas the vaccination and all that sort of stuff is a much wide open topic, and it has much, you know, it divides opinion.
It's also a lot more. Vaccination stuff is also a personal thing, right?
Yeah, I agree.
You're having something put into your own body.
Yeah.
And we're all on the same page. We think it's the right thing to do, but there will be people that won't think it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, and it should be without a doubt your own choice.
Whereas I guess with the Black Lives Matter thing, especially, it's, I mean, again, we'll use Harry Kane as an example. Yeah. He will never have been directly affected by that. He's a white mid-20s male.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah.
From England, so he's never going to experience that. Yeah, he's had a bit of abuse online about how he talks and stuff, but in terms of racism, he's never going to, so it's much easier to support because it's directly affected him. It's a difficult one, isn't it? It'd be interesting to get, because I've no doubt there'll be people that listen to this that haven't been vaccinated and will refuse to.
There's
one of my, and this is where I find it really, really interesting. I'm 40 next year. Unbelievable, I know, I look great, Mike, thank you.
You look lovely.
Thank you. I'm planning to go abroad for my 40th as like a last sort of like
last hurrah.
Before you're old, where you can relive your youth a little bit and get smashed and be an idiot and stuff.
He's going to wind up
Vegas actually.
You can go there when you're a bit older, mate. You probably have more money.
Life begins at 40. I'm also 40 next year, so
I'll see you in Vegas, mate.
Clutching at straw.
But the point is, so one of the, and I hope he doesn't listen. In fact, he doesn't, but you may know him, Barry, Ollie's friend, my friend. You'll know him from the Stag.
I'm going to tell him to listen.
So here's his partner, who he's got a child with, and, you know, they're engaged. They're going to get Dave. And they're going to get married. She's not vaccinated. For whatever reason, she's got her opinion. I've spoken to her about it, and it's about the whole, you know, I don't know what's in it. It doesn't feel like it's been tested enough and all that sort of stuff and that. And I was like, well, you do know that means, you know, you're obviously invited to Vegas. You're not going to be able to come.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, but I'll get it done for Vegas if it means I can't go. Yeah. And then it's kind of like, well, hold on a minute. You obviously don't think that much and your morals aren't that strong about it. That you so I almost have more respect for those people that will flat out refuse to have it.
Irrespective
of the circumstances.
No matter what happens. I don't trust it. Fine, you obviously truly believe that. That's okay. Whereas, oh, that's going to impact me. Yeah, of course, jab it in.
Yeah.
I want to go on the piss.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? Like, it's those bits I sort of struggle.
And you know what, as well, you could, if we had time, you could brainstorm and get a group in and talk about the pros and cons of having it and not having it, and it could be a 4-hour discussion, and you'd need a whiteboard the size of this room, right? So it's a big debate, isn't it? And it's a hard
Charles
one.
Does have a whiteboard in his car.
I do.
Get out, Charles.
but also
the whiteboard.
There's no right answer either, is there?
There's a personal answer.
Yeah.
Did we get your little phrase, Mike?
I did have the one that immediately sprung to mind was F the posh. Is that allowed?
Right, yeah. Well done.
I'll tell you what, if next press conference Boris Johnson does, and on the front of his little lectern it says fuck the posh, he gets my vote. Finally,
he can turn it around.
He'll turn it complete around. Yeah.
What about if he doesn't say it but invites you to a cheese and wine party? Who fancy that?
I do like cheese and I do like wine.
Yeah, agreed.
I mean, we're on a work night out now, right? So it's fine.
Yeah.
This is a work meeting.
This is a work meeting.
Yeah.
Or it's just post work drinks.
This is where I live and work, so it's okay.
Absolutely. No, so I was going to say, so the phrase I was going to say, but this is based on my opinion only, was don't be stupid.
Nice.
That's what I was going to say. Don't
like
be stupid.
It.
Love it.
I like it.
That can open a can of worms.
Let's open those worms.
Yeah, yeah. We'll just take a very quick break, mainly because Neil sat there looking at me like he wants to go and have a cigarette.
I'm internally smoking.
Yeah. I can see that. and we'll be back with a little bit of post-bag action. Support the podcast on Patreon by joining the It's All Cobblers to Me fan club. Every month, you'll receive access to exclusive bonus content, such as our Meet the Staff series, hear our player interviews before anyone else, and be invited to regular meetups. By joining the fan club, you'll be helping us to continue our sponsorship of NTFC women's player Abby Bruin and enable us to keep the podcast and all our other content going to the high standards you expect. To join the fan club, go to patreon.com/cobblers2me.
It's time to read your letters out, but things have changed, so listen out. If you want to write about Northampton Town, you'll need to write this next bit down. Just have a rant, or just some fun, at podcast@cobblerstome.com. No matter if we lose or win, send us your thoughts. Come on, get them in.
So we had a live rendition of Gareth's Neil's postbag jingle at the NTFC women game yesterday.
Oh, what?
You missed it. You'd been there early in the day, hadn't you, Neil, at Harpole?
No, he didn't have a game.
Oh, he didn't have a game, no. So you could have come in the afternoon. Is that what you're telling me now?
No, I had a 70th birthday party.
Oh, of course you did.
Yeah,
hold on a minute, you just told us you were 40 next year.
Do you know what? Mike can come again.
That's brilliant. No, interestingly, so we were talking about COVID, right? So my lad, you were saying you took all your team to Gravity.
Yeah.
So my lad, he had his football party at Tempin Bowling.
Oh, Tempin.
Thursday night. Every day since then, there's been a message on the WhatsApp group saying, oh, by the way, such and such has now tested positive. So I'm possibly... spreading.
Oh, don't say that.
Right, Mike's been at Gravity with 80 kids.
Oh, that's true.
He's a super good. Spreader.
Anyway, the post bag.
Yes.
Your post bag. I'll read it out.
My bulging post bag.
This is from John Mantle.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Brace yourself, boys. It's a bit of a long one. Hi all, love the show. Thanks for all you do. Quick one that's been on my mind for a while now. When/if the East Stand is developed, how will the away allocation work? As obviously, currently a proportion of the East is given over to away supporters. The point being, I would be interested in a box for either matches or even a season, but would not want the box behind an away following. My understanding is that boxes would run along the entire stand. Maybe this won't be the case. Struggling to see how this would work, as in the First Division, many teams would bring with them more fans than the 980 or so housed in the South Stand. So would, for most home games, have to give up space in the new East Stand. I really do think that the East Stand should be completed as a much wider plan for the stadium, but sadly can't see this happening. Oddly, I'm amazed that the club don't reach out to businesses to support financially and have naming rights, for example. Also surprised...
Like the PTS Academy?
Yeah. Also surprised that the club never seemed to want to raise any capital through some sort of share supporter scheme. I'm sure other clubs have done something similar. Anyway, have a great Christmas and keep up the great work. And that's from John Mantle. So obviously, fair bit there, but the East Stand, massive topic, as we always have.
Talking of topics.
Oh,
topic,
marathon.
Topic chocolate.
Topic bar. Chocolate, yeah.
Not massive anymore.
No?
No.
I used same to, with everything.
I used to prefer a picnic.
Oh, I had a picnic the other day. Oh, and a Whisper Gold.
Oh, I love a Whisper Gold. Anyway, poor John.
Sorry, John.
Poor John and his question.
Sorry, John.
Don't dilute it.
Yeah, sorry.
With your talk of chocolate.
I love chocolate.
It's
the festive season.
It is the festive season. Chocolate coins and all of that. Yeah.
Christmas bourbons.
Christmas bourbons. Oh, Danny's missing out, isn't he? Yeah. First things first, let's tackle the away allocation side of things.
Well, it won't change, will it?
Well, the away allocation probably won't change, though. But how would you feel if you had a box and then right
below that box was the away fans. Mike?
So I think, firstly, the away allocation thing probably won't change. And I would say that most box holders or box takers would probably not consider that as an issue. And if it was such an issue that it was at the front of your mind, it should probably be mentioned when booking your box.
Request
one at the north end of the ground. The away allocation will be as per requirement. You know, bigger clubs will get a bigger allocation. Where they're located, I don't think will be considered by the club at all.
I mean, I think, like John said there, that he'd like to see the East End plan being part of a wider development of six. Then he talks about getting into the Championship. I think, in fairness, if we got into the Championship, we would probably have, well, say probably, I would like to see, and I'm sure every fan in the, you know, listening would like to see the South Stand at least, maybe having, because what is it, six? They could literally have the same again added on top.
I think,
is that right? Of the north, the south, and the east? Was that the original blueprint?
I don't think it's quite as simple as that. Okay. I think that's the historical way. It's easy just to lob another tier on top. I'm sure that Gareth Wilshere has said before, it's not quite as simple as that. Mm-hmm. I would actually like to see the corners filled in.
Yeah. I think you get into issues with floodlights. I mean, it's a huge thing.
I've no doubt it's probably not that easy.
Where will Tony Ansell sell his burgers? I mean, it's not Tony Ansell.
St John's Ambulance guys go?
Oh, God, don't even do
much
it.
Much to think about. But actually, going back to the box thing, so if you think of Luton...
Oh, do you know what I was thinking about? Yeah. Do you remember the Saints fan?
Yes. Yes, I remember the Saints fan. What was he doing?
Bastard.
But at Luton, you can get a box, and obviously it's home fans only on that side, right? And it's no different. I think Mike's right. I think if you're going in a box, a lot of boxes are generally owned by corporate
businesses
that
looking to entertain clients
or hire them out and stuff. So it's probably not so much of an issue. And Mike's point is bang on. If you're that worried about it, being brutally honest, John, when you're going to buy your box, just say, can I make sure I have it at least no further than the middle of the East End?
I think
it's really one to consider that much. Also, you know, if you are in, you know, if it is the away fans in front of you, then you've got that great opportunity to give them the old...
Absolutely, which is what the Saints fan did at Luton, wasn't it? He stood there, arms wide.
Yeah. Throw a few pickled onions over the egg.
But prawn sandwiches.
Prawn sandwiches.
Prawn sandwiches, definitely, absolutely. I mean, I do think with the... I agree with the fact that I do think there should be an idea, at least, of what would happen with the rest of the stadium further down the line. Kelvin Thomas has quite often said, hasn't he, about the fact that essentially he doesn't believe
in
the mantra of build it and they will come. Yeah. And I'll be honest, I'm the same. Look at the George Reynolds Arena, Darlington. 30,000 all-seater stadium.
MK Dons.
You could argue,
this George Reynolds Arena, I agree. I mean, they were only ever getting attendances of 1,500 anyway at Phaetons, wasn't it?
Yeah.
MK Dons, you could argue, and I hate them, don't get me wrong, but sometimes they'll get 9,000-10,000, so slowly but surely. Yeah, it's obviously too big for them, but I think there's that element.
Yeah, I mean, it's still like a 30,000 seater.
I know, and that's where I do buy into the build it and they will come thing.
Right.
If you're sensible with it, I'm not suggesting that suddenly we should build six fields up into a 30,000 seat stadium.
I agree. Yeah, yeah.
But at the moment, we can only house 950 away fans unless we give them a bit of the East End.
Yeah.
In theory, I mean, how many times in the past when we had that, when we won the league, we had, you know, three quarters of the South Stand at points, didn't we, towards the end of the season?
Yeah.
And we probably could have sold it, you know, another 1,000 on top of that and stuff. So there is times and there is places. I think, I don't know the costings of it. And I imagine it would be a fair bit of money to whack another tier on.
Yeah.
And it's that balance. Okay, well, look, it's going to cost us £2 million to put another tier on. When are we going to ever get that back? But that does seem a little bit to me like small time thinking, a little bit of we're never going to be successful enough. And I don't really like that, because to me as a fan, it's like, well, where's our ambition?
I think the one thing, and this leads us on to the other point that John made about the, you know, speaking to local businesses or, you know, crowdfunding schemes and that sort of thing. The one thing that you've got to remember is that, you know, look, you're asking people to spend, you know, essentially one or two people, Kelvin Thomas, David Bauer, to spend money on something you want them to get. It's basically like me, Mike, turning around to you and saying, buy me a PlayStation 5, mate.
Yeah. It's funny you say that. Mike's got a present there, though, yeah? So,
yeah, it's not a present to be able to, it's not a bribe.
You've ruined the surprise.
Yeah. It's a difficult one. And then again, it's an opinion thing, right? Everyone's going to, I mean, I think we've all got slightly different opinions on what's the right thing to do.
I know we were closed down last time, but our away allocation is undoubtedly too small for even League One, right? I mean, we know that the top end of League One is a mini championship, isn't it? And some of those teams travel well.
I think that's the thing. So I can think of a few. So Sunderland would bring more than what we can house.
Yeah.
Ipswich, Portsmouth maybe. Sheffield Wednesday are in League One at the moment, aren't they? They can definitely bring more. Charlton. So there's
some of the ex-Premier League type teams.
Yeah, I don't think there's that many. I see what you're saying, and I do agree with that on that side of things. But then you also look at, like, the other teams, Accrington,
Fleetwood,
you know, Peterborough. I know they're in the Championship now, but they're away support. I don't care what Darren McAntony says. Compare their away support to our support going away from home. They're shit.
Yeah, I think you're right, actually. Yeah.
So I think what often when it will go to a business case, you'd probably find that what they do is that they'd look at averages. So yes, they could definitely make more money out of Sunderland coming to town. But then an Accrington or a Fleetwood or a Wimbledon, they're still only going to get 300 to 400. Therefore, having a larger away end isn't going to actually, you know, every single game give us more money. You've got, look at it this way, at the end of the day, what they could do is they could turn around and probably say, well, those games against Sunderland, Ipswich, Charlton, that Portsmouth, the fallen, you know, big guns, fallen giants kind of thing, you know, we'll get more home fans wanting to go to see those games. All you've got to do is look what happens when we pull a big name out for the FA Cup or the League Cup. You know, more people want to come and watch, don't they? So I think that's probably, and I don't know this, but that's probably where they look at it and they just go, well, when it comes down to it, it is a case of, you know, yes, the Sunderlands will bring more, but your Accringtons will never match what we've already got. So, you know, Accrington could be running away with League One and they still wouldn't bring 950 fans.
Yeah. And it'll be cost versus forecast, wouldn't it, for the whole season, I guess. So they need, I mean, these things will be paying for, don't they? And if the average away attendances aren't going to pay for the stand, then it's almost certainly not going to happen, is it?
I mean, that's it. I mean, I think that there is a lot more that can be done to generate more income, and that you
like
should,
a water park, maybe.
Like a water park, Neil, yes.
Yep.
I mean, I like the, I don't know if you guys have seen it, but on the hotel end, there's the guy, Steve Massey, talking about
the
this.
The Steve Massey?
Well, potentially, well, his pseudonym is Steve Massey something or other, isn't it? And he's talking about a brewery and a staging sort of thing. Not necessarily, I don't quite understand it, I'll be honest, whether it is the actual North Stand with RC, but however it's, you know, looking. You know, he's talking about they're getting a brewery on site, stuff that will actually then generate funds potentially for the football club. There are other things. I mean, I'm not saying that that is the way to definitely go, because I don't know what the plans are in full. But it sounds more promising, and it does actually make you think, well, what could the football club be doing to generate income on a 24/7 basis, 365 days of the year, rather than just the 21, 22 days that they get at the moment, football, you know, Saturdays essentially and Tuesday nights, things like that. I mean, it does need somebody to come in with an idea that shows that it actually, with a business plan that shows it could be successful and could generate funds to actually change the way that football works. I mean, we're looking at getting Kelvin Thomas and to come on and talk about the fair games, the organisation that are going, but the fan-led review that Tracy Crouch led
for the
government. We're looking to get Kelvin to come and talk about that to us, and also getting somebody from Fair Game to talk to us about it as well in the new year. somebody needs to come along and find a different way of making football sustainable. Because at the end of the day, at the moment, I think the video that the 20-minute video that Kelvin released on the NTFC website on Friday, maybe.
I haven't seen it.
Well, he talks about how essentially if we were to be sustainable, and I know that there are questions to ask about this, but if we were to be run sustainably, we'd have a budget that would put us in the bottom two of League Two. Now, no fan is going to accept that. Not for a club the size, and I say that in inverted commas, of Northampton Town. Because we are a top end, very bottom end of League One club, aren't we? Top end of League Two, bottom end of
League 1.5.
Yeah, League 1.5 club. Can you imagine those years that we were at right at the bottom of League Two, you know, Gary Johnson, for example, right down there before, yeah, Aidy Boothroyd, the last, you know, when Chris Wilder comes in, we were looking at, you know, potentially going out of the league. No fan was happy. I remember back then, sort of 2013, 14, that sort of time, you know, I remember actually thinking to myself, I'm not bothered anymore. I'm done with it.
Isn't that the problem?
Apathy.
Is apathy the right word? I know what apathy means, but is it the right word? Because for me as a fan, I get frustrated, feels like things will never change. And look, understand, you start supporting Gobblers, you soon readily realise that we are where we are in the football pyramid, and, you know, but, and even with all this talk of East End and all that sort of stuff and that, it's not going to change our world, is it?
No. I mean, what I'd like, and this is very sort of pie in the sky, I guess, is that the right saying, but it's a very optimistic thing.
Is it a fake sheik?
Yeah, that'd be good. Or some Chinese investors.
Yeah, 6 million.
But what I'd like is for people that come and visit the club to have the same feeling that we have when we go to a moderate sized game.
Yeah.
With Northampton. So, trying to think of an example recently. I know it was a cup game, but Swansea City, for example.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, went there, arrived at the stadium, big impressive. I know you can't really compare that. You know, they've been in the Premier League recently, so it's probably not a good comparison, but. And we go to somewhere like Swansea, name an example, that, you know, Bradford maybe.
Bradford.
Or somewhere.
Shrewsbury.
In our division, Shrewsbury, yeah. Yep. But you go to the stadium, great atmosphere. You enter the stadium, and you know, when you go through that bit where you enter the concourse and you go out into the stadium itself, and you kind of get that kind of wow.
It's a bit like, whoa. Yeah.
You know, this is good, you know, we've got to go. I mean, I'll use an example, actually. I go back to my FA Cup adventure we're talking about. The last round we went to was AFC Wimbledon.
Yeah.
And, you know, we arrived at Wimbledon. The ground, not particularly big, I think it holds 10,000. But it was an impressive place to be. You know, we went up the stairs, entered into the huge concourse, went through the doors and got that, you know, nice stadium, that nice ground, big stand that looks really good. And, you know, it was instantly impressive. And that's what I'd like people to think about when they come to us.
Yeah.
And that's a hard thing to balance when you talk about how you pay for something like that. And it's not anything we can all answer, is it?
It's really difficult because there's an element of match day experience as well. And I know, have we won an award for match day experience?
Yeah, years ago, we've had
the
like...
The kids' stuff, is it?
Yeah, it was the family. Yeah, the
family excellence award or something like that. But I mean, a lot of clubs are awarded that. It's not just one top club gets it, I think.
A bit like podcast of the year, very easy to win, right?
Why would you say something like that?
Charles is frowning at this
Charles
point,
is,
say.
Frowning is kind. I'm he's giving me a James White
damn right I am. Just because you didn't do anything to win it.
So with the greatest respect to the club, I think the family award is kind of, do you do a penalty shootout before the game and do you give out free colouring books? You know,
And I think also with that is that, I mean, maybe me now, I get that a little bit more now I've started taking my daughter to the football this season. And obviously, Neil, you take your kids
takes his kids, not my kids.
You know, Mike, you take yours as well. But, you know, I was never bothered about that at all. You know, I couldn't care less if Clarence was round the other side of the East Stand.
That's not what makes you go.
That wasn't anything to do with me. I mean, I get it now. Even though we've never actually, I've never actually taken Amelia around the East Stand where the family bit is before the match. You know, but she does want to meet Clarence. She's got a little Clarence, you know, plush toy thing. And, you know, she was actually quite gutted that she forgot to bring him down, thinking she was going to go to the game this week.
So I think there's a, I think there is obviously some children that like that, like Amelia. Amelia's a great example. Mm. But so if I think to my
Dave.
My lads, every time they ever talk to me about their memories of going to a cobbler's game, one of the games they always bring up is when Coventry were there. I don't know if you remember. I think we beat them 3-0. But there was flares, and there was a bit of excitement and a big atmosphere. The things they talk about is, and like they, and when we got promoted, and you know, everyone went down to Sixfields and waited for the buses and stuff. It's the atmosphere, and it's like the loudness of it. And I look back to when I first started going to football. One of my earliest ever memories, which got me into football, was at Filbert Street, Leicester City v Oldham Athletic. My dad was a big Oldham fan. He used to take me to watch Oldham, and we were in the stand behind the goal. There was a massive fight, a huge fight between fans and stuff, and I bloody loved it. Like, I mean, I was only 7 or something, but it was like, I was like, football is brilliant. So I think there's a balance, and I think if you're, and I've tried to take friends, my own friends, to cobblers games, like Ollie, you know Ollie, he's come to a couple of games, home ones not so much. The ones he talks about is Dagenham away.
Yeah.
What a day that was.
Yeah.
Things like that. And
Portsmouth away.
It's that sort of thing. So there's and I don't know how you recreate that because it's usually, it's situation specific a lot of the time.
I know I've talked about it a couple of times since, you know, the game, but Tranmere, the away game at Tranmere this year, they had that fan park outside.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a massive marquee tent, you know, with an Oktoberfest going on because it was, well, October. but, you know, they had stuff there for, you know, it's all well and good. I think, you know, you've got your stuff for your kids, but you also want stuff for the grown-ups, if you like, you know. But more and more, I think there was a video, wasn't there, on Twitter last week. Who did we play away from home? Harrogate, wasn't
Harrogate,
it?
Yeah.
Group of lads in the pub before the Harrogate game.
Oh, having a great old sing-song.
You loved it, didn't you? Having that sing-song. And I, you know, sent a message through the WhatsApp just sort of going, kids, eh? You were like, I love that. Absolutely. No, don't get me wrong. I wasn't saying, oh, this is bad.
Charles hated them.
No, I didn't. But, you know, it was great to see because they were, what, early 20 lads? Yeah. Early 20s, they were.
Youth. NAT.
But, you know, it was, you know, it's great to see. But what do they have at Sixfields for a home game? Because you look at it and you go, the singing support is split between the south of the west and the west stand, and then the north stand where you sit, Mike. You know, there's been talk about having a singing section in the past,
it doesn't work. And also, well, I think having a singing section as well,
it forces it.
Yeah, it needs to be organic. All you need, and I always heart back to this, you'll know this, Charles, but I always heart back to what they have at Plymouth. They have Dave Banana, yeah, fantastic comedian. They have a massive marquee. They've got a bar in there. They have a stage. Dave Banana does a set before every game. Brilliant. Look him up on YouTube if you want, Mike. He's brilliant. Check him out. Yeah, you will look back. all we need is a massive marquee, place for fans to go and drink and get served in a decent time. I know we've got Cars Bar, but let's be honest, it's very small.
Takes a while. Yeah.
Takes a while to get a beer in there.
Because of the size. I will point that
the
out. It's nothing to do
it's
with the
size.
Staff.
It's
you
not,
can't get enough people behind the bar to serve quickly.
It's too small.
That's what it is.
Yeah, of course. All you need, you could even have a marquee either behind the north stand, stretching out like they've done in the past, and permanent. And that you gradually, over time, it wouldn't happen immediately, but gradually over time, you get a local band in, you've got the DJ, he does a good job, the DJ, right?
Yeah, the Sixfield Sounds.
Yeah, he does well. Gradually over time, organically, you're going to get people going, I tell you what, we won't go Sixfields Tavern. We won't go the Walter Tull or whatever it's called these days.
Yeah.
We'll go to the Marquee.
Yeah.
We'll go to the John Marquee.
That stuff as well is, I mean, it's... sounds negative, but with the cost or something like that, it's kind of fine if it fails as well, because it just the cost is so low. you know, I mean, the bar will make what it makes there, and yeah. stock can be sold out, you know.
Yeah.
The marquees are relatively cheap, and you start off and see where it goes.
Yeah.
And I quite like the addition of other, I mean, when I talk about Wimbledon again, I was there with the FA Cup recently.
God, why didn't you just go and support Wimbledon? Oh, yeah. Sure.
I did wonder he's wearing a Wimbledon shirt. Isn't yeah.
I'm wearing a Wombles hat. But no, outside the ground, they had, it was a bit traditional, but they had a pin badge sale.
Oh, I love that.
Mm-hmm. You know, program stand. Yeah. And there was a couple of other ones outside the ground as well. And you know, it was the whole kind of thing outside the ground. And it meant people were there 30 minutes earlier than before because yeah. they're browsing these things to yeah. see what's, you know, getting that matches pin badge.
And you could do that at Cobblers, right? Yeah, you have Andy Trasler, which Cobblers Collectibles.
Yeah.
So big marquee, right? Give him a space in there. Perfect. Yeah. You could have a little space for the shop.
There's no reason why the marquee, because they've had a marquee, haven't they, to extend the 1897 suite.
Yeah.
The little mini tunnel and then the thing. They had a beer festival, didn't they, for October, yeah. you know, a couple yeah. of years back before, obviously.
It's cost. It's about 100 grand.
But, I mean, you've got to give these things a go. I mean, that's the thing, is that there's no point in just going and saying, right, we'll just do it for two games. Because you need to generate the interest.
And to Mike's point as well, I think Mike's point is bang on. It's the, well, you know, look, that's not going to earn us any money immediately or anything. Right, it might not do immediately, but actually...
Yeah.
A, it's probably going to make your fan base a hell of a lot happier.
Yeah.
B, over time, it's going to become... Like, I'm still talking about Dave Bonanno, and that was like five years ago.
Yeah. But this is it. I mean, again, going back to the Tranmere thing, Tranmere have just... You know, I think I said at the time after the actual game itself when I was talking about it, they've had their planning permission to create an actual building
yeah.
rather than just a market. That's been accepted in the last week and a bit. You know... That they are going to actually be moving that in. That's a supporters trust thing. That Tranmere's supporters trust or whatever their actual official name is. It was theirs, their concept. They worked with the football club to do that. I've said this before and I'll say it again. I would love, and it's absolutely fine. I'm quite happy for the supporters trust to question and to, you know, put across and to challenge the owners of the football club. I've got no issue with that whatsoever. But I would love them to also, at the same time, work together with the current owners of the football club to create something for us as fans yep. and to give us that experience and that match day thing. I mean, the great news coming out of the Supporters Trust over the last week about Ian Atkins, you know, potentially joining the board. I think it's got to be ratified at the AGM. No, that's absolutely brilliant.
Hopefully Big John Gale comes back.
You know, Big John Gale, get him in. Sean Parrish, get him back. You know, Carl Eggs.
Yeah.
Him and John Gale can have a fight in the tunnel before one
Christian
of the games.
Lee,
that'd be fun.
First million-pound player.
Absolutely. Have all of these things. I mean, they can all just stand there while Dean Pier opens the Dean Pier corridor. That would be exceptional.
That sounds like a great note to end on.
It does, doesn't it, yeah. really, to be honest. And... I can't think of anything else. Anyway,
did we answer John's question?
I think we did.
No, sorry, John.
You're right. But I think we've got that. Anyway, before we get kicked out of the pub, mainly because of Neil being rowdy, we'll leave it there. Thanks very much. Do go and press
Mike.
Follow. Thank you, Mike, for coming.
You, Mike.
I haven't finished it yet.
Felt like you had.
It's been brilliant. Mike's been here. It's been great. Thanks for coming, Mike.
It's been
great having your input.
Yeah, no, I've enjoyed it.
He's been more professional than you have, Neil.
It's not hard, is it? Let's be honest.
The lights are going out.
After this job, I'll have a chat.
Make sure you go and buy a mug for Western Favel Food Bank.
Yep.
Neil.
I've requested one.
And Danny, have you?
Yeah, I thought, if I'm on the pod, I thought I'd get it free.
Oh, right, okay.
No, I've requested my missus.
Good.
Christmas present.
Thanks to everyone. We don't know whether there's going to be a pod next week because obviously the game being cancelled and it being between Christmas and New Year. Neil's got family commitments. I've got family commitments.
I've also got NFL commitments.
And NFL commitments. The 49ers are probably playing somewhere and losing. Hopefully we'll be back soon. But we'll let you know. Keep an eye on the Twitter at Cobblers for me. We'll tell you there. Thanks very much for listening. Mike, thank you for being here. Neil, thank you for being here. Thanks to the Priory in Wellingborough for providing us drinks that we've paid for.
I've aged during my time in this.
For being here. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Whey! There's the cup. There's the pictures you'll see on tomorrow's back pages. The Cobblers are going through into Division 1. Bring them on because we deserve it.
This podcast is a proud member of the FanHub 100. Football without fans is nothing, so we've partnered with FanHub to put fans first. Search FanHub app to play your part in the journey.